bid you greetings, true seekers. I'm broadcasting from Richard C. Hogan's Other Side of Midnight. This is Radio Free Mike Spent from the city of Smoke and Mirrors, Burbank, California. Now follow me through the underground, grab a smoke and a scotch, and let's get this party started. Tonight we're going to be speaking with Donna Ingillo about the Urantia book and her Christ Consciousness Center. She's been studying this book over 40 years, and it's going to be interesting. I don't know anything about this book other than I've heard the title, and I did a little Wikipedia search on it, and I looked at her bio. So it'll be interesting tonight. But I wanted to bring up something that I noticed in the last couple of weeks, and it was that Scully movie. And I had the Mandela effect when I saw the preview. I swear that this movie has been out already a few years ago. And I was just kind of curious if anybody else out there felt the same way. I know my roommate did. He told me, wasn't this already out? I mean, even with the main actor, you know, it just seemed like it's been out before. But, you know, I wanted to thank Richard for entrusting the helm to me tonight and letting me be a guest host. He and I became friends over the years, and I was a guest a few times on his show. And it's a big deal to be here, and I hope I can do him justice and not let you guys down tonight. I know a lot of people in radio start out, go to broadcasting school, or start out with a podcast. Well, this is the first time I've ever done this. You know, I've been a guest many times in various radio stations, from internet to FM, AM. But hosting is a whole new ball game, so I'm very, very honored that they're entrusting me with this. So the other thing I noticed was the Charlotte police shooting and how the police are saying they don't want to show the video because it's this man's last few moments alive. Or, you know, to me, I'm thinking, or maybe it shows that the police are culpable in a murder. I mean, I don't get it. I think the governor or some political figure from the state said that black people do not like white people, you know, and that's just, you know, I just hate to see these kind of things. They're just way too common. And the only thing I can say is expect more riots and race baiting. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I think police should be culpable. I think they should treat us with dignity and respect. And I don't think they should shoot us. You know, I don't think they should. Maybe they can write us a ticket. Maybe they can pull us over, but execute us. I don't know. I just don't agree with it. And it does seem like it happens to minorities most of the time, but it happens to anybody. It can happen to anybody. And I mean, do we really live in a police state where we have to sit there with our hand on the steering wheel and be afraid that the police are going to shoot us if we turn the wrong direction? I just, you know, it's just too much for me. It just, you know, it really, really bothers me. And I really wish this would end. And I hope tonight with Donna, because she's all about unity and Christ consciousness, which is a great principle. You know, help your brother, you know, turn the other cheek. I mean, it would be so nice if we lived in a world like that, but we don't. We live in this very violent, brutal world, it seems. And, you know, I don't know. It befuddles my brain. But, and another thing is Yahoo confirmed 500 million accounts compromised. But don't worry. It happened in 2014. It just took 2 years for them to tell us about it. So don't worry about it. You know, be happy. Everything's okay. They got it under control. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's going on in this world? I really, really do not understand. And, okay, all right. Yeah. Hello. And we're back. This is Mike Spent on Richard T. Hoagland's The Other Side of Midnight. And tonight we're going to interview Donna D'Angillo from the Center of Christ Consciousness. She's an expert on the Urantia book. And this is the first time I get to meet her, and it's the first time you get to meet her. So let's meet her now. Hi, Donna. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Mike. And hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on your show tonight.
Well, you know, to be honest, Donna, I don't know too much about the Urantia book other than the title. And I know Urantia is an alternative name for the planet Earth. Could you maybe tell me a little bit about the name Urantia?
The Urantia book is a wonderful revelatory opening into our place in the universe. The name Urantia is, according to the authors of the papers, is the name of our planet in the registry of the cosmos. This world is not the only inhabited world of human-type free will mortal creatures, beings, personalities. There are literally trillions of worlds like ours. And each world is known. Each populated world is known. Each populated world is lovingly cared for by spiritual personalities. And Urantia, according to the authors of the Urantia book, is the name of our planet.
Okay, can you tell us who these authors are? It's a little esoteric for me. Can you explain who exactly these authors are?
Sure. The Urantia book, let me go back a little bit and just give you a brief history. The Urantia book was given to us as a gift in the early part of the 20th century to help us as humans evolve our planetary culture to a more heavenly way of life, where there would be more peace and love and equality and compassion for not only people to treat one another that way, but to treat the planet that way. And there are celestial personalities, divine beings, who are charged with administrating the universe and all the planets within it. And the planetary observers of our world, the higher planetary observers of our world, saw that our development was moving in the direction of materialism and scientific discovery, but we were lagging behind in spiritual and moral development. And so there was a whole host of celestial and spiritual beings who have authored the various 196 papers of the Urantia book to put together a larger but much more comprehensive picture of who and what God is, how the whole creative big cosmos or universe has been designed, and some of the personalities who live and play and work in the cosmos and our place in it and who we are in the whole creative design of reality. So the book came through in the early part of the 20th century and was ready for publication around 1955. The book came through what they call a sleeping subject. There was an individual who started to bring forth information in his sleep, and the individual's wife contacted a gentleman by the name of Dr. William Sadler. This was in Chicago. And Dr. Sadler started to pay attention to what was being said. And I'm just giving you a really brief history now. And then over time, more information was forthcoming from these various personalities who were charged with helping the humans of this world open up to a larger cosmological picture. So there's all different kinds of personalities. There's archangels, there's angels, there are other personalities that would not necessarily make sense without reading them and reading the papers and seeing what they're saying. But essentially, what the book is here to do is to provide us with this greater schematic of the nature of reality and why we're here as human beings having a physical experience on this world. Does that answer your question a little bit? Or do you want me to go in a little bit more depth?
Can you hear me, Donna?
Yeah.
Yeah, so were the authors on the planet Earth? I mean, I'm not clear. I know they were celestial beings, but were they actually on Earth? How did this book materialize? How did it become a book? Can you hear
well,
me?
Well, some of it is still a mystery, and it may be maintained as a mystery. Mm-hmm. What would happen is that some of the information would come through this sleeping subject, and the information would be recorded. And then what happened over time is Dr. Sadler convened a group of individuals he knew in a Sunday study session where there would be people invited to listen to the material and that there would be a discussion on that. Now, the authors were probably on the planet, but they existed in a different dimension. So they are unseen. They existed a different frequency than our material density, if you will. And so they are paying attention to what humans are saying, and then sometimes the papers would just materialize, and then they were the changes and the adjustments would be there. So over time, this was a process that took approximately 10 to 15 years to complete. And then, of course, you know, the world went through that horrible war in the 40s. And I believe that's one of the reasons that they delayed publishing the information until 1955, when things started to quiet down. But, you know, our world was going through some tremendous changes at that time with the nuclear age. And so the celestials saw that we really needed a book to develop our spirituality and to help us with our moral development, because we were really going down a very warlike path.
Yeah, I see that. Of the trillions of worlds, is Urantia, aka Earth, are we the most important planet of these trillions of worlds?
That's a good question. No.
Okay.
We would think that we are, but every planet is administered by spiritual beings. There's like what you might call a spiritual overseeing government. But they are largely here to observe and to foster human spiritual, intellectual, and moral growth. But because we are free will, they can't tell us what to do. They are here to guide us and provide us with information. Now, as we go into a little bit more about the nature of the book and the contents of it, this book, this world is unique, and it is rather special. I'm going to jump ahead because what this world is in terms of the, you might call it the segment of the universe in which we live, and the term in the Urantia book they use is a local universe, which is composed of potentially 10 million inhabited worlds, that this was the world where our sovereign, our creator sovereign, whose name is Christ Michael, chose to incarnate as Jesus upon this world. He chose this world to incarnate because we were so backward and had so many problems that are very well recounted in the Urantia book. So it goes into the story of the history of our world is it composes the third section of the book, part three, the history of Urantia. And it talks about our planetary history, how we developed, and how we got into the mess we are in right now. and what we're doing to outwork that right now.
Can you tell me a little bit about Christ Michael? And so you're saying Christ Michael manifested into what we know as Jesus Christ in the Judeo-Christian thought?
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about Christ Michael?
Sure. So in the Urantia book talks about how the big creation is designed and how it's orchestrated and administered by loving, very loving divine beings. And the universe is so large that there are subsections, if you will, of it. And in our particular universe, we have a creator father, if I can use that word, who also has a consort, a creative mother. And these two beings actually start out at the center of all of creation at a place called paradise. And they leave their home in paradise, where they originate from other deity parents, and stake out their own place in the in the universe. And they start creating worlds, they start creating personalities, angelic personalities and other personalities, and then eventually evolve human beings, beings like us on other worlds, to evolve to a greater, to evolve life so that it will one day reflect the glory of heaven. Christ Michael is our creator daddy. And we have a spirit mommy, we have spirit parents, a divine mother and a divine father. Just as we have human parents, we have spirit parents. And they have this space, if you will, and it's a universe. It's a very, very vast conglomeration of stars and planets. And he is the father of this universe. So he has, as part of his, let's call it, his mandate to be a ruler of his universe, he must undergo seven incarnations of the actual beings that he creates with our divine mother in order to be the sovereign ruler in his domains, that he can rule supremely and do it, whatever he wants to do. This is all very well recounted in the Urantia papers, and a beautiful description of who Michael is. I'm giving you a very, you might call it the crib notes version. He came to this world because we were having such a hard time coming to understand who and what God is. And there's a reason for that. And maybe we'll go get into that a little bit later, because...
Yes, yes, we will. I wanted to go over like the Urantia book and who it is. And I guess, you know, so that's what I want to do at this first segment. You know, we have a few more minutes. So, it's very detailed. I mean, it's a huge book. It's and it's based on faith, obviously. I mean, because we don't know who that sleeping person was. You know, it's kind of like an Edgar Casey that William Sadler was exposed to, like a person who slept and the information came to him from this book. Am I right in understanding this?
Yes. He was the sleeping subject was largely disinterested in what was coming through, and that was one of the reasons they chose him, because the authors of the papers did not want this book to be associated with any human personality. They wanted the book to stand on the information itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that this is, that it would ring the bells of truth within the human heart based on people reading the book, not making it like a part of a personality cult or anything like that, because this has nothing to do with any particular personality. It's all about whether or not this rings the bell of truth within, and if this is something that is desirous of study, because the information is so intriguing and mind enhancing and expanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know like there were some rock figures like Jimi Hendrix liked this book, Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead liked this book. I mean, it has spoken to people. It's just, you know, it's a little hard for me to wrap my mind around it because, I mean, we're into facts on this show. We do facts. And there's a little bit of, I mean, it's faith. It's faith-based. We don't know who the authors are. We don't know these things. So it really has to speak to you on a spiritual level and impact you. So I haven't read the book, so that hasn't happened to me. So that's why I'm a little dry in my questioning.
Well, the authors of the papers are identified at the end of each paper, and the book does go into the descriptions of the various types of spiritual personalities that are a part of the overall design creative plan of that was put in place by the creator of all. So the biggest, I think, for me, it was very mind-expanding thing was to understand that our conception of reality was so much bigger than what I was taught in my Christian upbringing, and so it really spoke to me, because a lot of the questions that I had were not answered through my religious upbringing. And so when I started to read the book and looked at how they were organizing the nature of reality, it just really rang my truth bells, because it was so big and the information was so consistent, but it was logical. Mm-hmm. And it was based for me was presented in a way for me that just really made sense. And I said, this has to be true. It makes too much sense.
So when we come back from the next break, we still have a few minutes. Maybe we can go into who you are, because maybe some episodes in your life made you open to understanding this book and really speaking to you, where you made it a life mission to study it and build this foundation.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to share that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just quickly, can you tell us about the Center for Christ Consciousness?
The Center for Christ Consciousness is a spiritual healing ministry, and it is framed around my understanding of the Urantia information, as well as my direct personal experience with our Divine Mother and Father. And I started having direct contact with them, roughly, maybe 16, 17 years ago. And I had a dramatic experience in the early 90s that changed my life. And I started to meditate. And when I started to meditate, the window of the universe opened up to me, and I started to make contact with a variety of different unseen friends and spirit personalities. And so the Center for Christ Consciousness was formed as my desire and intention to help people awaken to the call of spirit within, and to help people clear themselves of the wounds of the past, of feeling alone or isolated or abandoned or unworthy of receiving God's love, because God's love is all around us, but we are spiritually deprived, and there are reasons for that I'd like to get into a little bit later as we go through the show.
Oh yes, but we have 2 hours. We will. Yeah. Let me say that for the listeners out there, if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's Other Side of Midnight on Facebook. And you can chime in there. You can put comments. I hope you're following us. This is very, very deep stuff. And Donna has a lot to say. So There's a couple more minutes on before we have our break. So how long have you had this Center for Christ Consciousness?
I started it in 2002.
Okay.
And it's been a true labor of love. I've met so many wonderful people who are on their faith journey and have provided a place for people to come and to be reparented by loving spirit parents who take the place of human parents and help people release the traumatic memories of childhood and the past so that those wounds of feeling unloved or unworthy diminish, so that that person's true nature and spiritual potential can start to blossom, so that that person becomes more of who he or she was created to be as an individuated spark of love from our Creator. And it's just been so wonderful to be a conduit for love to flow from God into these individuals who've come to the Center for Healing.
Okay, Donna, we're going to take a break, and I want to remind you guys to join Club 19.5. It's $5 a month. I'm one of the original members of it when they started out on the Dark Matter Network. So please do that, and you can follow us on Twitter. The other side of it is it's Other Side of Midnight on Twitter. So please follow us and tweet us. Hi, this is Mike Spent on Richard C. Hoagland's The Other Side of Midnight, and we're speaking with Donna D. Angelo about the Urantia book. So the first part of the show, we learned all about Urantia books. So let's get to know Donna a little bit. So Donna, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'd be happy to. I've really been on a spiritual journey, I guess, all my life. I don't remember a lot of my early childhood other than I really felt like I always loved God and Jesus. And I was raised in the Lutheran tradition. But around my adolescence, I began to question the teachings that I was being indoctrinated in. Something about it just didn't sit well with me. And I found out later in my adult life that my parents had always felt like I was different, that there was something different about me than my other siblings, that, you know, I had a little bit more of a spiritual interest than they. It was around, it was 1975 that I found the Urantia book, but right before that, I left the church because I was really becoming agnostic. I believed in God, and I believed in Jesus, but I just didn't believe what I was being taught in the church. And it was a particularly difficult period of time for me because I just didn't know who I was. You know, late teens, early 20s is a time of kind of coming into your own, and I just had no clue. So
who does, Donna? Who does?
Yeah. Well, some people do, but
I guess not me.
Yeah, I was not one of them. So when I was introduced to the Urantia book, I was out on a date. And we started talking about metaphysical things, and he told me about the book. I went down to the library the next day. This was in Buffalo, New York, and I picked out the book, and I opened it up, and it was like the pages, the words just leapt off the page and filled my heart, and my truth bells were going, ding, 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 you found what you were looking for. And as I started to read it, I just concluded that this had to be true because it just made so much sense, and it was so consistent in its philosophy, in its descriptions. It was just wonderful. But what really got me, it was the reading in part four of The Life and Teachings of Jesus. each year of his life is recounted in part four, details that were never available to me in the Christian church, and I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. And I said, I want to be like you. I want to do what you did, because the story of his life was that he was human. He incarnated as a human, as a baby. He started out exactly where you and I start out, and he had to learn who he was, just as you and I do. And the description of his journey to discover that he was actually the creator of our universe and what his mission was to come here is such a beautiful description of love and faith and devotion to humanity with such great compassion and mercy and understanding that it just spoke to my heart in ways that, I mean, I really can't even put into words. I mean, it was just very profound experience. So I moved to Chicago in the early 80s. The Urantia Revelation headquarters was in Chicago, and I had a friend who moved to Chicago, and actually pretty close to where the foundation was. And I met the gentleman who became my husband there. He worked at the Urantia organizations, and I started to study the book more in earnest. When I was in Buffalo, I really didn't have anyone to study with. You know, it's a big book, and it really helps you to have people to study with. And so I got married and became a member of a study group. And for many years, that was the focus of my spiritual development, was just to study the book, read, reread it. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've read it and studied it. But then in my personal life, I was raising my husband's two children from a previous marriage. And at the time, I wanted to have my own child, and we were having problems conceiving. So we inherited another child to raise for a few years, a little girl that was part of my stepson's family. And so I was raising three children, working a full-time job, and then I finally got pregnant in 1991, and then I suffered a devastating miscarriage when my husband lost his job at the Urantia organizations. And this is before the miscarriage. He lost his job 3 weeks after we found out I was having twins. Mm. And it just happened at a time when we were having a recession. So we made plans to move down to Indianapolis, where he had his family, to get help with the twins and, you know, raising a big family. But we couldn't sell our house, and we were moving teenage kids down to a new school system, a new state. So we had like almost all the major stressors in life: loss of a job, trying to sell a house, a pregnancy, a move out of state. And I had a miscarriage, and everything just fell apart. We couldn't sell our house. We went into bankruptcy. I lost my twins. I had a huge, huge crisis of not knowing who I was. I remember just being completely, completely devastated by the miscarriage. And we moved down to Indianapolis, and something happened to me. A Urantia book friend sent me a little description of a homeopathic remedy that was all the descriptions of the miscarriage that I had undergone. And so I started to study homeopathic medicine, energy medicine, because there were a lot of clues in the Urantia book about how the human body works in conjunction with spirit. And I was very much interested in mind over matter, psychic phenomenon, and that kind of thing. And so I started.
Can I interrupt you for a moment? Do you think that the loss of the twins was part of a perfect order? Do you think there was a purpose for that? Or do you think it was from these factors you're talking about, the stress, the economy? Can you just kind of explain that a little bit?
I still don't know for sure. Had they lived, they would have been in their mid-20s now. And I probably never would have left their father and opened, done the spiritual work that I have done. So maybe it was part of a higher plan. I struggled with that for many years because it was so devastating. But what happened to me when we moved down into Indianapolis was that at the same time within the Urantia community, we were starting to hear that people were getting contacted by celestial personalities when they would be in meditation. And there were some messages coming through about something called the correcting time.
Okay, yes.
And I started to pay attention to that and listened to the messages of what they were talking about. And I eventually started to make contact myself with some celestial teachers. And basically, one of the messages that I got was transmitted from another person was that, because I was having a hard time letting go of healing from the pregnancy, that, you can be a mother to the people that you want to help, because at that point I was starting to practice and doing some kind of like hands-on energy healing. And I remember getting that message and going up into my bedroom and just asking God to take that feeling of wanting to be a mother, because I just love children. And that was my dearest wish in my life, was to have children, to raise children, to be godly and good and, productive citizens. And that was denied to me, to have my own children. I realize now that it was a blessing to have these children that I was able to influence and raise somewhat. But
so Donna, do you think that because of the loss, that is why these celestial beings contacted you to get you through this, so you could continue your studies and start this foundation?
Possibly, I think they saw my spiritual potential and wanted to stimulate that. So I started to meditate shortly after the miscarriage, and that started to open the door for me to make contact with them.
How do you make contact with them? Can you explain? I mean, were you sleeping, making contact with them?
No, in meditation. So I just want to make one point, and I'll tell you what happened to me the first time I made contact. So I remember, having this burden emotional burden that I was carrying about wanting to have children. And I remember going upstairs after I got that message about mothering other people, that other people needed mothering, that I went upstairs and I just cried and I said, oh God, please take this burden from me. And I literally felt a weight being lifted off my shoulders, and I never had that overarching compulsion to be a mother again. It was completely lifted off of me.
Do you think that was Christ Michael?
It was the power of spirit. I don't know who did it exactly, but it was wonderful. So the first time I made contact with the teachers, we call them kind of celestial teachers, I was meditating, and I had these two vortices of energy hit the bottom of my feet, spiral up my legs and into my torso, and then I had a brief burst of pain in my head for about 4 seconds, and then I heard on the left side of my head, don't be alarmed, this is Wellneck, we're just making adjustments in your energy system so you can hear us better.
Wellneck, huh?
Wellneck was the teacher's name. But wow. I'm kind of jumping ahead, because what this phenomenon was about, of celestial personalities contacting people to be channels, or we use the term in our Urantia community, TR, transmitter receiver, right, was that this planet had been sequestered from the rest of the universe. We had been under quarantine because of events that happened here in our ancient past that took us on a path that deviated from the divine plan of evolution. Every planet has a purpose for its evolution to evolve from a raw human life to a heavenly culture reflective of the ways of truth, beauty, and goodness. These are divine values. And we deviated from this plan roughly 250,000 years ago. And this is called the Planetary Rebellion, and it's recounted in parts 2 and 3 of the Urantia book. And so what the correcting time represents...
So let me interrupt you. Was the pain and the physical sensation... I mean, my head's spinning from this. I mean, it's okay. A lot to wrap my brain around, but was that the correcting time? Is it a painful thing? I mean, is it like a physical sensation? What is the correcting time?
That's what I'm explaining. The correcting time is the period of transition to bring this planet back into the divine evolution for inhabited worlds. We deviated from this path over 250,000 years ago, and there really isn't much record of this. There's a little bit of a record in the Bible about the war in heaven, but it's very well recounted in the Urantia book. And the correcting time is this period where the spiritual, you might call them wires connecting our planet, are now being reconnected, and people are being contacted by angels and other spiritual personalities to help us awaken in our hearts to who we are as children of our Creator, that we can develop ourselves more along the lines of peace, love, compassion, tolerance, patience, kindness, understanding, those types of qualities, rather than the way we've been treating one another and our world. This is a big thing that's happening on the planet, and you just have to look around to see the proliferation of new thought consciousness, and even within the different religions of the world, there is a change going on right now, and this is part of the correcting time.
And is TRing, is that the way that the correcting time is transmitted? Can you tell me a little bit about the TRing? What is the TRing? What is the transfer? The TRing.
The TRing is a term that we use in our Urantia community to denote that a person is receiving information from higher personalities and transmitting it as messages or lessons.
Like automatic writing? Is it like automatic writing?
It is. It can be like that, but a lot of times it is verbal messages that come from the higher personalities or the spirit personalities, who use our thought currents to transmit messages of hope, upliftment, inspiration, practical spiritual help about how to grow spiritually living on a planet like this. So it's just a whole variety of means that the celestial personalities are using to contact people. You know, there are a lot of inventions that are out there. People's creative imaginations are being stimulated to think outside the box.
Definitely. I mean, this is very outside the box. I mean, it sounds wonderful. I mean, it'd be so nice if we had that world that they're trying to teach us. I mean, we definitely need it.
We're moving in that direction, but it's
we are. I mean, it's hard for me to see, but I want to trust you.
Well, let me just kind of put it in context like this. Okay. We deviated from the divine plan of evolution thousands of years ago. So we have a planetary system of consciousness, our collective consciousness, is rooted in separation, war, poverty, and illness. That is not the divine plan for evolution. It takes a long time, or I should say, it takes a while for human consciousness to be transformed. And this is the nature of the work that I do at the Center for Christ Consciousness. It's helping people unplug from this planet's system of consciousness to get into the higher realms where people are feeling more loved within themselves, more of who they are, more creative, more authentic, so that we can all work together as one to heal this world. And so while this is a collective event that's happening on the planet, it's reaching into the human heart one person at a time to help each individual become aware of the nature of spirit within. The Arantia book talks about the divine spark that lives within each person's higher level of consciousness. They use the term thought adjuster, and what this represents is a direct link or circuit or a wire from our Creator to adjust our thinking more along the divine ways of life. And we have lived in a planetary culture that has been very negative. And so that divine information has had, like, what you might call a jamming signal to get through. And we live in a culture, especially in our American culture, where we're always doing, doing, doing. And we very rarely take time to be quiet, to be reflected, to be still. And this is one of the primary teachings for the correcting time, is to learn to quiet your mind, to find that stillness, that still small voice. And there is a biblical verse in the Psalms. It's, "Be still and know that I am God." Because God wants to communicate to us directly. And we have that direct link, but we have to open that door in order to perceive that small, still voice, the divine inner voice.
Can I interrupt you again? So it's Christ consciousness. Where do the other religions come in? Judaism, the Islamic religion, Hinduism, are they all part of this? Or
religion is the way in which the Arantia book recounts the various world's religions is that the human mind is wired for spirit, for religious comprehension. And religious beliefs evolve over long periods of time. And they come through different belief systems, tribal conditions, cultural conditions, racial traditions. And so there are many, many religions of this world that are especially what you might call indigenous to certain regions. Christ consciousness is not about organized religion. It's about developing your own inner Christed nature or your own inner divinity in the way that Jesus did. The Christian religion that evolved from his life it's discussed in part four of the Arantia book, but basically what the authors in part four are encouraging us to do is to look at how Jesus developed his humanity, that he was able to discover who he was in his divine persona. And we have a divine core within us, but it is up to us to want to develop it. It's not something that we're just going to do once in a lifetime. It's an ongoing process of development that we become more attuned to who and what we are as children of a loving Creator. And the fact that this world deviated from the divine plan has brought us into a state of separation and isolation from our Creator. And the correcting time is here to help us reconnect us to our divine origins and our divine parents, so that we have an opportunity to heal the wounds of the past and be able to be here in a way that we can love one another, love ourselves, and love one another and love the planet in a way it was designed originally.
So we're going to be coming up on a break in a few minutes, but so the Urantia stays out of politics, stays out of organized religion. It's more of a spiritual concept, an inner personal understanding of what God is. Can we say that Welnick is an angel in our Judeo-Christian ideas? Are these people angels, these celestial personalities?
The teacher Welnick, as identified to the group that I was in, is actually what we call an ascender. He was actually a human on another world, a world that was more fully developed than our world in terms of spiritual and moral and intellectual development. And he has volunteered to come to our world to help humans to grow spiritually and to open up to the presence of spirit within. He was not an angel. The variety of personalities in the universe is staggering, and there are many types of what you might call spiritual beings, not just angels or archangels. Those are just a couple of the wide variety of personalities who are here to support our spiritual development and help us to grow and evolve this planet to a heavenly culture.
Okay, so in a few seconds, we're going to be hearing these chimes that say, I don't know what they say, but they're beautiful. Donna, thank you, you know, for explaining this stuff. I mean, I am having a hard time wrapping my head around this. I don't know. It's pretty heavy stuff.
It's big. It's huge. This is the biggest thing that's happening on the planet right now, and it does take a while to wrap your head around it.
Okay, so we're going to take about a 30-second break, and we'll come right back. So remember, Nightclub 19.5, join it like I did. Yeah, we're back, and you know, we're on Twitter, Other Side of Midnight. We're also on Facebook, Other Side of Midnight. Please chime in on those pages. And I'm talking to Donna D'Angelo about the Urantia book. Hi, yeah. So I'm sorry. I wanted to be following you guys on Facebook, but I cannot do it and conduct my interview. So there's no way I can do it. So please chime in there on Facebook, Other Side of Midnight. I'm sorry I can't see what you're writing, but write. We need you to write. So please go to Facebook for us. And Donna, let's pick up on the ministry of the Christ-centered consciousness.
I started this in 2002 based on my desire to help people heal of the wounds of the past. Once I made contact with the celestial realms, I went into a deep study in the Urantia book about healing. And I started to get information from my celestial teachers about the human system of consciousness, how our mind functions, how our mind is programmed, if you will, by spirit, and the problems that we are encountering in how we think and how we feel. And what I perceived was a message from Christ Michael saying that he wanted to speak through me. He wanted his children to come to know him as a father. And based on that request, I started the Center for Christ Consciousness as a spiritual healing ministry to help people be repatterned and reparented in divine information, coming from both a loving spirit mother and father who want to help their children overcome the wounds of their past, not only childhood, but ancestral memories that are stored in the DNA. So the center is a place for people to come and receive information. I've written extensively about the process of healing and the way in which our system of consciousness functions. I've written about who our divine parents are and the spirit of God that lives within us. I've written several books. The one called Teach Us to Love talks about the inner spirit and how to make contact with that through the process of going within and quieting one's mind. My new book coming out, Divine Mother, Divine Father, is a compilation of 100 inspirational and uplifting messages for people to open up to the concept and the experience of who our spirit parents are. It's like the universe has opened her heart and doors to us now so that we can learn about who we are and this wonderful realm of creation in which we live. We have been sequestered from much information about the nature of reality for many, many millennia. And now this reconnection process is underway to stimulate every human on this planet in their creative imagination, in their heart, in their spirit, to come into this greater, let's call it, bandwidth of life.
Okay, we're going to take another little break here. We have a number if you'd like to call in. It's 888-909-1050. And I, again, want you to go to Twitter, Other Side of Midnight, and tweet. And please go to the Other Side of Midnight Facebook page and chime in.
Will you stay in a lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing.
I'm ready.
We bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, that was David Bowie's Kooks. And before that, we had the Ramones, The Other Side of, the Garden of Serenity. And I'm Mike Spent, guest host for Richard C. Hoagland tonight. He's fine, you guys. Everything's fine. He's working on a big project, and he'll be back tomorrow for his special imaging show. I hope you guys tune in, because it really goes into great detail, and you can see structures on Mars, you can see ancient buildings. He's going to talk about Mama Mars. So, you know, I'm really excited to see this, listen to this show, and I hope you are too. So, I've been talking with Donna D'Angelo about the Urantia book, her experience. She studied the book for 40 years. Her personal life, she's gone through some personal things that were very traumatic and really heart-wrenching, and she's going to explain to us how we can get these wonderful feelings, how it can affect us. So, hi, Donna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
The practice of quieting your mind and developing a meditative habit is a really cornerstone or foundation of starting to feel these positive feelings within. You might consider the human mechanism, the human body and the human mind as a giant recording device. And we live in a cacophony of just so much negativity that it presses on us, it feeds us, it diminishes our spiritual vitality. And just as we need food and water for our physical bodies, we need spiritual energy for our souls, for our hearts. So the practice of quieting one's mind is the foundation to open the door for God to feed us from the inside out. Many of the world's religions talk about studying God through religious texts and information from priests or ministers or rabbis or holy people. And that's all fine, but there is another side of spiritual development, and that is the personal relationship that each person has with their creator source that lives within them. And quieting your mind in a practice of what we call stillness helps to open that door. You're expanding the bandwidth within your own system of consciousness for spirit to inlay those feelings of love and compassion and belonging, so that that sense of isolation or abandonment or unworthiness starts to diminish. As well, the spirit within will provide you with new insights to consider and to help you see your life in a much different or a higher way of perception. This is fundamental to growing in that state of love, growing healthy, emotionally healthy, and intellectually mature. I don't really know any other way in order to get that sense of real deep feeling that is part of the spiritual development that everyone is here to embark upon. But what happened for me is, I struggle, like with so many people, feeling insecure and unloved for many, many years. Even through the study of the Arantxa book, I still was plagued with feelings of insecurity and looking for love from my husband or my stepchildren. But it wasn't until I started to go within and really felt that God loved me and really could feel coming through in meditation that my heart was being healed, that took the pressure off of expecting love from other people.
Is this the DNA repatterning?
No.
Is that what? No. Okay. No, sorry.
That's a little bit. The DNA repatterning is a deeper form of healing, much, much deeper.
But, yeah, I would say so. I mean, how do you repattern your DNA? I mean,
well, it comes from higher beings who have higher information. You can't repattern DNA with old programming. You have to put new programming in there. And that's what the Divine Mother and Father do. And that's what I've written about on my website under the Experience or Living Christ Consciousness link. But what essentially opens the door is the practice of quieting your mind. And we, at the Center for Christ Consciousness, we've developed some meditative tools. One is called Come Into the Stillness, which is a very easy 7-step process to take you from the state of physical relaxation to learning how to quiet your mental chatter so you can talk with spirit within, with God within, and just share what's going on. And then learn how to elongate those moments of quiet where spirit can get in and just kind of give you a hug. That's the door opener. But once the door opens, you can go really deep and really high with this, like our consciousness expands. And that's what we're in right now. We are in a consciousness expanding time. And the Arantxa book provides a schematic for the, you might call it the container for our consciousness to expand. It has this bigger picture of reality. And so the conceptual understanding of this larger picture of reality is actually enhanced with the practice of quieting your mind through stillness and making contact with the spirit. They work synergistically together.
And synergy is, can you explain what synergy is? How do they work synergistically through us?
It's a twofold process, that there is a relationship to the intellectual comprehension of a larger reality and the experiential feelingness of that bigness, of that love, of that belonging. And so when it's like you have your thoughts and you have your feelings, and they work together synchronistically, synergistically. That's what I mean.
Well, we have a question from Facebook by a fellow by the name of Darren Hedgewald, and he's asking about separation of war, poverty, and illness. What's the divine plan? Unity, wealth, peace, and wellness. I mean, it's a very deep kind of convoluted question he's asking, but it's like, how do we get there? I guess he's not getting much from our show tonight, so can you talk to poor Darren Hedgewald and explain the separation of poverty and illness for this man?
Within the divine plan for human evolution, there is a purpose for spiritual comprehension. And spirit is all about love and peace and unity. And as I said earlier, we're living on a world that deviated from the divine plan. And we are in the process of reversing that negative trend, that negative path of, we might call it, de-evolution, and to move into more of a creative state of co-creation consciousness with the spirit that lives within us. This is a big about face. And the way in which we go about doing this is by spending time with our creator source that lives within us, of quieting the mind and starting to ask that internal question, hey, God, who are you? Are you real? Are you there? Do you live inside of me? These are questions that everyone has a right to have an answer. We do not exist in a vacuum. We are part of a very big cosmos. And what we're going through right now is that there is this plan of spirit to help this world regain its trajectory and to get us back on the divine timeline and path for love and peace and compassion. So we're in the midst of kind of like a outworking of the old or the negative and the inworking of the spirit and the positive. This is not something that's going to happen every night. And each person eventually will have to take personal responsibility whether or not they want to participate in being a conduit of love and compassion and forgiveness and understanding, or stay separated and continue to be influenced by the fear that our culture teaches us. The separation, you know, there is a polarity that's happening. One of the ways correction occurs is that there are our divine mother and father are the, what you might call, the originators for us of truth and goodness. And when truth light comes to a planet, it starts to shine light on all of the negativity, the evil. And that's what's happening right now. We are witnessing an outworking of a very great evil that has kept us in war and separation and poverty and illness. And it's there to help us recognize that is not the way. That is not the truth. That is not God's plan or desire for us. And each person is being encouraged to take personal responsibility and to recognize that we have lived in this state, and those influences have impacted each individual personally. And the way out of it is to take control of your spiritual life. You have a right to know who you are as a child of God. You have a right to ask questions about who and what God is. And when you start asking questions, your mind will be fed with positive thoughts and feelings to help you awaken to the truth of who you are and the goodness and the potential of wonderful things within you to blossom as an individual.
Darren has, it's quite a question. He's a little bit of a frustrated host, I think, but he wants to know the difference between the book and the Bible, the Urantia book and the Bible. So let's end Darren's question with this answer. Can you speak to Darren, please?
The difference between the Urantia book and the Bible is something that is could take a long time to discuss.
Darren's question, there's quite a bit to Darren's question, so let's just take this part.
I will say that for me, and this is my own personal opinion, okay? I'm not claiming that I'm an authority or anything like that, but for me, the difference between the Bible and the Urantia book is that the Urantia book is coming directly from spiritual beings who are in charge of this planet. And I believe that the Bible is the account of humans searching for God and interpreting God's information in their hearts and minds, but going back, for a certain number of years, maybe 4,000, 5,000 years. The Urantia book is so much bigger overview. Huge. It's almost like you can't even compare the two, because the Urantia book is this overarching, what they call it, it calls itself an epical revelation. It's designed to change our whole way of thinking over a long span of time. And I like to think of the Bible as humans searching for God, and the Urantia book is God's searching for humans, God revealing more of who and what God is and who and what the universe is to humanity.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Darren. So can you explain what evil is?
I will use the definition that they talk about in the Urantia book, because I like the way that they philosophically constructed it. So if you consider that there is a, let's call it the perfect way to do something, and we use that as a synonym for the divine way, evil, in terms of the Urantia book, is the misadaptation or the misunderstanding of God's perfect plans, and that humans will make mistakes in understanding who and what God is. And they talk about three levels of deviation from the divine plan. The first one is evil, where a person just makes a mistake and really doesn't really understand the consequences. And then the next level is sin, where you start to become aware of the fact that you're transgressing divine law or universe principles of life, and you don't care, and you're going to do it whatever you want anyway. And then the third level of it is iniquity, where you are continually making choices that are against the divine plan, and you don't care what the consequences are. So evil is the lack of understanding and the desire to choose to do things a different way, and not the divine way, not the God-given way. And we live on a planet where we really don't understand those principles very well. But we're opening up to that through many, many different venues of different types of information coming through now to help us understand that we are part of a huge bandwidth of life, and the universe is opening its door to us to help us understand who our place in God's creation.
I know in the listening audience there's a lot of atheists, agnostics, so this might be a little esoterical, might be a little offensive to them, us talking about these positive things, but I think that what is going on is, you know, people are concerned that this Urantia book is evil, maybe, possibly. So that's why I was asking what evil is. You mentioned that there's evil on this planet. Can you explain that?
Well, I think it's easy to look around and see when people hate one another, when people try to, well, you mentioned it in the beginning, you know, we're seeing this violence toward people. Evil is the condition wherein we are not acting out of love and compassion and kindness and mercy and understanding toward another person. We're not treating that person with respect or a sense of compassion or equality. That's part of it. That's not the whole picture, but that's
where does it come from? Where does it come from if these divine beings are in charge of things? Where does this come from?
Okay, well, now we're going to get into some real juicy stuff here.
Okay, right on.
I mentioned a bit back about the deviation of the divine plan that our planet participated in over 250,000 years ago. So this is well recounted in the Urantia book in parts 2, the local universe, and part 3, the history of Urantia. We are part of a subsection of a local universe, and the term they use in the Urantia book is a system of planets. And the system head of our planet decided that he didn't like the divine plan, and he wanted to take his system of worlds into a different way of doing things, of evolving human life to a higher state. His name was Lucifer, and he had an assistant by the name of Satan, and he got our head of our planet, whose name was Caligastia, to participate in rebellion against the divine plan. That was the sentinel event that has spawned all of the destruction and evil on this planet. And it's such a big picture, and it's such a hidden part of our history that it takes a while to wrap your head, your whole understanding around this. But the description in the Urantia book is extremely comprehensive. And when I studied this and made contact with the Celestials, basically they told me what they're doing now on this planet is cleaning up the mess, the energetic mess of this evil that was spawned by this event 250,000 years ago. But this is a huge, huge undertaking to turn a planet around, to get it to follow and to want to follow the divine plan for evolution along the ways of love and peace and truth and goodness. So the reason I believe that there are so many people who don't believe in God is because the way in which religion has evolved, it doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of questions, you know, when you have...
Donna,
yeah.
We're going to have to pick this up because we're going to be going into a break here. I do want to know more about this. This is really some meaty stuff. But we're going to be listening to Roxy Music, The Bogus Man, and then we're going to have a little break. And I want to remind you guys to join Club 19.5 like I did. It's $5 a month. You can tweet us at Other Side of Midnight on Twitter. You can go to our Facebook page, Other Side of Midnight. I'm Mike Spen. We're talking to Donna D'Angelo about the Urantia book, and the Christ Consciousness Center. So enjoy the music. Hi, this is Mike Spend on the other side of midnight, Richard C. Hoagland's bridge. I'm the guest host tonight. I want to thank Richard, and I want to thank the mysterious M for giving me this gig tonight, and thank Donna. Donna's just doing a crackerjack job over here. But we have a number if you'd like to call in. It's 888-909-1050, and we have a caller, and it's Darren, the question asker. So, hi, Darren. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. That's one of my favorite songs of all times by the Kinks. Amazing. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Darren.
Hi, Darren.
So, I was going to ask you about your healing centers. What's it like going in there, and what do they do exactly?
Well, most of the work I do is long distance, so I work with people over the phone. And the sessions that I conduct are what you might call leading you into a meditative space to receive love and validation from your divine mother and father, so that sometimes you'll feel feelings or a tingling sensation. The nature of the healing work I do is very experiential. And it's designed to help a person release the wounds of the past, to release the burdens of unworthiness and abandonment and isolation, and also ancestral memories that come up from, your inheritance. And there's a whole science about this transference of ancestral memories called epigenetics. And one of the things that the work that I do is designed is to help you release all this baggage, psychological, emotional baggage that is carried within the emotional body or in the mental body of an individual, so that they can become more whole and integrated into who you are as a child of God.
It's all spiritual healing, and it's identifying, like, from past lives? Like, is that what you mean? Or from
not necessarily
being younger in this life?
Well, the concept that I'm working with is just overall healing. Whether it's a past life or whether it's this life is not up to me to determine. I just provide that environment for spirit to do the work within the individual, because spirit knows you better than anyone else and will help you outwork and relieve those burdens of the past.
Have you ever done physical healings too?
Some, yes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the physical healing is based on releasing a lot of the emotions and the beliefs that get stuck in the body that prevent the body from its self-healing mechanisms.
So once you release them spiritually, then they physically can heal.
It does have a reverberating effect. It may not necessarily be instantaneous, but sometimes it takes time. But yes, I try to just hold a space for whatever level of healing that person is ready to receive can be perceived within that individual.
Hey, Donna and Darren, can we do a mass healing right now? Darren, would you like that?
On who? Me?
On all of us. Me, you, the whole listening audience. What do you say?
Does she do mass healings like that?
I'm asking her. Can we, Donna?
Why don't we leave a few minutes toward the end of the show, and I'll lead everybody in a meditation. So we've got about 20 minutes left or so. Maybe leave another 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the end, because I think there was something else that wanted to be discussed about the evil that exists on the
yes.
planet.
Yes. So, Darren, are your questions answered?
I got some of them answered. I was going to ask her one last question.
Okay, one last question.
A full-fledged miracle happen?
Pardon me?
Have you ever seen a real miracle healing, just something that you could specifically tell us about, or?
Are you talking about the physical level? I mean,
sure, either.
Well, I would say that I've helped people really experience letting go of some major trauma in their lives, that it just goes.
And so they're like a different person afterwards.
And they do feel different afterwards, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Darren, thank you so much for your questions and calling in. And again, the number is 888-909-1050. And Donna, before the break, we were talking about some pretty heavy stuff. We're talking about Lucifer, Satan on Earth. Can we get back into that?
Well, we're not going to have enough time to really cover this, but this is very important. And the point I want to make about this is when there is a deviation from the divine way of doing things, it leaves a mark or an imprint upon the human psyche. And what we're going through right now is the collective human psyche has all this negativity in its energetic body. Just as we have an energy body, so does our consciousness in the collective have an energy body. And their influence on the planet of doing things their own way didn't work. And so they created a lot of forms in terms of our social institutions, which evolved over a long period of time, of coercion and control, domination. And we are in the midst of outworking that. So one of the things that happens is when healing starts to occur, the unhealed memory pattern will come up, and it will feel like it's being irritated, like a person will experience some negative feelings or have some negative thoughts come up. But this is actually good, because spirit is trying to say, this is in you, recognize it. But this is not the truth. This is a lie, and you can release this. And when you come to spirit in a sense of humility and wanting to release this and giving it over, there is a higher power that comes in with love and compassion and forgiveness that takes the emotional charge out of that memory, and it starts to feed in more of the higher spiritual emotional frequencies that are needed for true healing to occur. Now, what's happening on the planet in the collective is that spiritual pressure, truth, and goodness are bathing human consciousness, and it's opening up these bandwidths where we have retained so much anger and hatred of one another, and we're seeing it being played out now. And what spirit is calling for us to do is to say, no, we do not accept this. This is not right. We want a better way. And that way, there is more spiritual energy that can come in and help us move out of that, release these inner wounds. You know, there is a big call for peace and love. There are many websites and people who are doing peace work and forgiveness work. This is all part of this correcting time. And we are in the early stages of this to turn this planet around and to get back on track. But there is a tremendous outpouring of spiritual help available to us if we want to take the time to go within and ask those questions. What is this all about? Is there somebody there who can help me? I need help, and I want to know how to heal myself. And you will get help. You will, and that's one of the things that I do, is I provide a space for people to come and receive the help that they need. So
the evil is being conquered. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
At an individual basis, one person at a time? Is that what you're saying?
It's happening individually, but it's also happening collectively. And even though it looks like things are a real big mess, and at some level they are, there is an undercurrent of love that is starting to form, that is here to support people at deep levels of their being, to help people feel that they are loved and lovable at the core of their being. This is a very different way than most people live. It's completely, you might call it like a 180 degree shift in the emotions that's occurring to help people awaken. But there has to be a certain level of recognition that I need help, that I cannot do this alone, because God wants to co-create that love with you and to help you perceive that there is a higher power here that's in charge. But because we have free will, spirit is not coercive. Spirit is not dominating. It's trying to encourage you, entice you, kind of tickle your fancy and help you open up to something much more positive and so much more edifying for the human psyche and soul.
Wow. You know, we have about 15 more minutes. Do you want to tell us about your book? I know it's coming out in December. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your book and maybe get into how people can contact you, some websites, things like that?
Yes. My website is the Center for Christ Consciousness, and you can just plug it in with that name, .org. The link called Living Christ Consciousness has a wealth of information. I've written extensively about the human system of consciousness, who our divine parents are, what the spirit of God within us is, and my book, Teach Us to Love, talks about that, developing that relationship with one's own indwelling spirit. My latest book, Divine Mother, Divine Father, is going to be available in November or December, and that is a compilation of 100 messages of love and inspiration and encouragement from our divine parents. We have been sequestered from them. We have not had many religious traditions that talk about God as divine mother and father. These are two distinct spirit personalities, and who they are is laid out in the Urantia Papers. This book are messages that I've transmitted from them to share with people who come to the Center for Christ Consciousness for encouragement. And I have taken these messages that I've transmitted over many years and compiled them into a book. So it's introducing the concepts of who the Divine Mother and Father are and who they are in terms of our relationship to them, the love that they have for us, and to help us receive new information about our who we are and our relationship to the rest of the universe. So check out the website. There's a tremendous amount of information on there. There's ways in which you can contact me and the services that I provide. I provide a variety of services in terms of individual healing, and I've done some group trainings and webinars, and my latest one that I did was called Healing Human Consciousness. There's a link on the website for some PowerPoint presentations that will take you to YouTube videos, and they are a recap of the discussion that I did earlier this year about how our consciousness got so perverted and what we are doing now to heal that. So it's a pretty comprehensive 12-week series that I've done, 12 recaps. So that those are a way to kind of help to get oriented to this revelatory information.
And we have you linked on our page and your bio. So you can go to the homepage bio for Donna, and we have links there if you'd like to see those. And please contact her. Okay, Donna, so you've written how many books?
Well, let's just say I've produced, this is my third one. I can't say that I've written them because it's really has been information that has been transmitted.
Oh, it's TRing. Okay, it's TRing. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. The, I'm here to be a conduit for higher spiritual beings to help with the healing of this world. that's my primary desire and function. But it comes through the language and the concepts of my own mind. But I think that if people read the Divine Mother, Divine Father book, that they will have some profound experiences, and letting the energy of that book just kind of soak into the heart and really heal the human heart. And this is where we are right now. This time of the correcting mechanism is here to heal the human heart of all the wounds of being abandoned or unworthy, and just help people feel that they are gorgeous children of God that have a divine purpose and a destiny to be here and to live life and experience it fully.
I feel a positiveness coming from you. I can feel something. It's interesting. I hope the audience, the listening audience, feels what I'm feeling. It's been very interesting talking to you about this. So you've channeled basically three books. If you go to your Christ Center Consciousness online, is there a complimentary session or something like that? I thought I saw that on the website.
There are some complimentary excerpts from Teach Us to Love, and there's some complimentary meditations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, we've got about 10 more minutes. What do we need to cover before you leave? You're doing such a good job.
Oh, my goodness.
What about Teach Us to Love? Why don't you tell us about Teach Us to Love?
Teach Us to Love talks about the nature of the direct link that we have to the Creator and how to quiet the mind to perceive the divine inner voice. And there are lessons on Teach Us to Love about forgiveness, dependence upon God, seeing the presence of God in others, the nature of faith versus belief, and who Jesus is in terms of a bigger perspective of how we can develop our humanity based on how he crafted his humanity, that he was able to reach his divine insights of who he was and why he was here. What I really would like to stress right now is that part four in the Urantia book is a marvelous, astonishingly uplifting description of the life of Jesus and his superb teachings that are not accounted for in the Bible. And if you love Jesus, I mean, really love Jesus, and you read his life and teachings in the Urantia book, you will fall even more deeply and head over heels in love with him. It is so gorgeous, and it's transformational. And his life will touch you in places that you didn't even know you had.
Uh-oh, that sounds, I don't know, Donna, I don't know. Joking. But do you have any events coming up or anything like that?
I am participating in a telesummit that is put on by a colleague of mine by the name of Michael Tibbetts, and it's called How to Quickly Access Your Eternal Wisdom. That's coming up in October, and I'm going to be putting that up on my website calendar. I'm also doing a prayer once a month on the first Sunday of the month, and I'll put that up on my calendar, update that too. That is a prayer for the healing of America. And this is a non-denominational ecumenical call. We've got people calling in from different faith perspectives to come together for this polarity and this divisiveness and this fabric of American life to be healed by spirit. So those are some of the things that I have upcoming. And then I'm going to be doing a conference in Delray Beach in March of 2017. It's called Building Our Family of Love. And it's a conference designed to help people understand what are the components of family, what is a loving family, and to work with people to kind of develop a template
for more of an ideal family structure, because the family is the primal social unit from which all of our social institutions spring. And when we develop family relationships that are loving and respectful and honest and truthful, we set up our cultural, our social institutions to be more positive and healthy. So those are some of the things I'm working on right now.
Why don't you tell us your website again, the web address?
CenterForChristConsciousness.org.
Wow. I mean, I'm kind of speechless with you, Donna. It's a, it's a bit heavy for me, you know, but I can feel positiveness coming from you. Where are you guys located? I mean, is there a radio station or something we can tune into to hear you? Or?
Right now, I'm in Delray Beach, Florida, and I basically work out of my home. My plan is someday to have a large facility as a healing center, but you know, this is a big thing that we're undergoing, and it's still really kind of not well known, the work that I'm doing. So I have a video up there. I've got some links for people to get involved and receive information, and I do conference calls during the month to help people open up to spirit that are free to anyone who wants to sign up and join our family, our Center for Christ Consciousness family. So there's a number of ways to get involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, this show goes out to 160 different countries, so people are hearing you tonight, so I think the message is getting out.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity because it's I've kind of been operating, you know, kind of under the radar a little bit. But
Donna, you're like me.
Yeah, but wanting to get out more, and it's time for people to understand what's happening on this planet so that they can make good decisions, informed decisions, and have a bigger perspective than what we just see in our media or get in, you know, just kind of what you might call just sequestered quarters. I mean, this is a big thing that's happening, and what we're presenting is kind of like an overarching perspective of what's going on the planet right now. And I do personal sessions, healing sessions with people. I work on a donation basis. So if anyone is interested in this reparenting and repatterning, you can contact me and we can schedule a session. And I'll be happy to help people open up to the love that is your divine birthright to receive, and to help you in any way that I can to sponsor your spiritual development.
We have a few more minutes. Can we do a mass healing now? Is there like something you could say to do a mass healing for us here and in the audience?
Well, it's kind of fast, but if everyone would just take a few minutes to drop their focus down to their hearts. And I just want to send a big heart hug out to everyone listening, and thank you for taking this time to listen and to receive. And I just want to let you know that you are so loved. And I know that it can be very hard to feel that because the heart can be hardened and wounded. But there is a power in you that wants to heal you. And don't be afraid of the pain. And to acknowledge that you have not received all the love that you deserve. None of us have. We live on a love-deprived planet, and this is what the correcting time is here to reverse, to give you the love you need, to help you know that you are a beautiful person, and you have a right to live, and you have a right to be loved, to give love and to receive love. And this is your time to receive love. So I am just sending a big heart hug to everyone here with appreciation. And I ask Spirit to bless you and to open those channels within your being that you can begin to feel the love that you have a right to receive.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for that. I'm Mike Spence, sitting in for Richard C. Hoagland. He will be back tomorrow night. Do not fear. And it's going to be an imaging show. So tune in The Other Side of Midnight. Tweet us at Other Side of Midnight. Look at our Facebook page, Other Side of Midnight. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Em. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, KCAA. This is Mike Spent going back into the underground, and I will see you later.